July 25, 1937. How an act in the divine will can be a mighty wind, a celestial air and atmosphere, three circles. If God loves, He operates. If He speaks, He gives. The sea of the divine volition always murmurs. And many times it forms its mighty waves to storm the creatures, to envelop them within its loving waves, to give them its life. But with such insistence and loving pushiness, as if it were in need of us, poor creatures, that one remains stupefied. Oh! How true it is that only God knows how to love us. Now, while my mind was wandering within this sea, my sweet Jesus, surprising me with His short little visit, told me, "Blessed daughter of my volition, did you see how sweet was the murmuring of the sea of my will? And also the souls who live in it do nothing other than murmur together in the sea. Perfect echo of my fiat, they never cease to murmur love, glory, adoration, but in a simple way, if they breathe, they murmur love. If they palpitate, if blood circulates in their veins, if they think, if they move, in everything they murmur love, love. Glory to our Creator. And if they call my will into their acts, they form mighty waves to envelop God and the creatures, so that all, heaven and earth, may do one single will. An act in my will can be a mighty wind, such as to transport and uproot with its strength passions, weaknesses, bad habits, the putrefied air of sin, and substitute them with virtues, divine strength, holy habits, and the sanctifying air of my will. An act in my will can be a universal air which, penetrating everywhere and everyone, day and night, can let itself be breathed in order to infuse its life, its sanctity. In dispelling the sickly air of the human will, it substitutes it with the salutary air of my fiat, in such a way as to let creatures remain sweetened, embalmed, vivified, healed, by this divine air. An act in my fiat can be a celestial atmosphere which, enclosing within itself all our works and the very creation, with the strength of our works storms our divinity and imposes itself on us, to make us give graces and gifts such as to render the creatures capable of receiving the kingdom of our will. An act in our will can contain such wonders, that the creature is incapable of comprehending all of its value. Jesus became silent, and I remained as though soaked within this sea, and, I don't know how, I felt myself being transported into the celestial fatherland, in the midst of three circles of light, at the top of which there was the Queen of Heaven on one side and our Lord on the other, with an enchanting beauty and an unspeakable love. In between these there was a multitude of souls, all transformed into the light in which they lived and grew, but kept, directed and nourished by Jesus and by the Celestial Mother. How many beautiful surprises could be seen! These souls possess the likeness and the life of their Creator. And my sweet Jesus and His Mother told me, "These circles of light that you see are a symbol of the sacrosanct Trinity, and the souls are those who will form the kingdom of the divine will. This kingdom will be formed within the bosom of the divinity. The rulers of this kingdom will be us, the Mother and the Son, who will keep it with jealousy. See then, the certainty of this kingdom, it is already formed, because in God things are as though already done. Therefore pray that what is there in heaven may be realized on earth." After this, I found myself inside myself, with the highest sorrow of finding myself again inside the poor imprisonment of my body. Then, later, my highest good, Jesus, all goodness, told me, "My daughter, our divine being is all love. And this love is so great, that we feel the need to issue this love outside of us. Nor do we care whether the creature deserves it or not. Had we wanted to care about merit, the whole of creation would still be inside our bosom. When we love, we operate. In fact, we loved and we created the creation. And as gift of our generosity and of the excess of our operating love, we gave it to man as gift. We don't like giving our gifts as recompense, or as merit. Where could he possibly find enough coins to pay for our gifts? Or as many acts to deserve them? It would be like hampering our love, repressing it within us, and giving nothing to the creature, and not even loving her, because if we love, then we must operate and give. Our Supreme Being finds itself, so very often, in such delirium of love, that we feel the need to issue from our divine womb gifts and graces to give to creatures. But in order to form these gifts, we must love and manifest them, so as to make them known. Hence, if we love, we operate. If we speak, our creative word delivers the gift, confirms it and endows the creature with our gifts. Our word is the bearer, and puts us in the condition of pouring out our constrained love. But do you want to know why we do not give our gifts as recompense or as merit? Because we give them to our children, and when gifts are given to one's children, one doesn't care whether they deserve them. They are given because one loves them. At the most, they are made to be comprehended. Here is the necessity of the word, so that they may appreciate the gifts, keep them, and love the one who gave them and who so much loves them. On the other hand, it is to servants or to strangers that they are given as recompense or as merit, and, oh, with how many measures! So, in the excess of our love, without anyone praying us or deserving it, we made the creation, to make of it a gift for man. In another excess we created the Virgin, to donate her as a gift. In another excess, I, Eternal Word, descended from heaven in order to donate myself and give myself sweet prey to man. In another greater excess of love I will give them the great gift of the kingdom of my will. The Celestial Virgin, heiress of this kingdom, will call the creatures as her children, that they may receive the gift of her great inheritance. Now, my daughter, if the soul lets my divine will reign, her love will no longer be sterile, but fecund, nor will it be reduced to mere words, or to just works. She will feel the creative strength of our love within herself and will be placed in our same conditions, that if we love, we operate, and if we operate, we give. But what do we give? The great gift of our divine being. Our love is so great, that if we give, we want to give everything, even our very selves, pray to the creature. Our love would not be content if it did not say, I have given everything, I had nothing left to give her. More so since, by her possessing our will, we are safe, we dwell in our home, with all the decorum, the honors, the decency that befit us. The same with the creature, by possessing our same creative strength, if she loves us, inside her love she will give us the gift of her life as the requital of our gift. Hence, it is life that we will give each other. And each time she will love us, our creative strength will multiply her life so that she may give it to us as gift. Her love will not remain isolated, but with the fullness of its life that gives itself prey to its creator. Hear then, how both sides, between creator and creature, are equaled. Life does she receive as gift, and life does she give. And if the creature has her limits, my will makes up for her. More so, since in giving us her life as gift, she gives us everything, she keeps nothing for herself, and so our love remains satisfied and requited. Therefore, if you want to give us everything and receive everything from us, let our will reign in you, and everything will be granted to you. Fiat.